Today the reading comes from Matthew 10, reading verses 34 through 39. Matthew 10, verses 34 through 39. Do not think that I have come to bring peace on earth. I did not come to bring peace, but a sword. For I have come to set a man against his father, a daughter against her mother, a daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law, and a man's enemies will be those of his own household. He who loves father or mother more than me is not worthy of me, and he who loves son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me, and he who does not take up his cross and follow after me is not worthy of me. He who finds his life will lose it, and he who loses his life for my sake will find it. Please be seated. Jesus liked to use shocking statements to get people's attention. He said things like, if your right eye causes you to sin, then pluck it out. Or if your right hand causes you to sin, then cut it off and cast it away from you. Or whoever slaps you on the right cheek, turn also to him the other. In our reading of God's law this morning, Jesus makes a shocking statement. Jesus says in verse 34, do not think that I have come to bring peace on earth. I did not come to bring peace, but a sword. Now, Luke also records Jesus saying this, but Luke provides a little bit of translation for his Gentile readers. He replaces the word sword with division, showing that Jesus is describing how his presence, his coming, his truth creates division amongst people. And then Jesus goes on to describe in greater detail the actual specific type of division that he's referring to here in our reading of God's law. For I have come to set a man against his father, a daughter against her mother, a daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law, and a man's enemies will be those of his own household. Now, why is Jesus saying this? The relationships that we have with our family members are some of the strongest and most cherished human bonds that we will experience on this earth. And so why is Jesus saying that he came to create division in these relationships? We begin to understand the meaning of his statement when we realize that Jesus is talking about the cost of discipleship. In this passage, he's talking about the cost of discipleship. He's talking about what we must be willing to lose or what we must be willing to give up if we're going to follow him. Because he knows that conflict and division will arise between those who follow him and those who do not follow him, he gets straight to the point. Because he knows that our strongest relational bonds are with our own family members, he challenges us at this very point. He says, do you love me more than you love your family members? If following me requires you to lose a relationship that you have with your parents or with your children or with your siblings, then will you still follow me at that cost? Is that a cost you're willing to pay? The division that Jesus is describing in this passage occurs when one of your family members is living an openly sinful lifestyle that you cannot ignore. If you're going to be faithful to the Lord Jesus, you cannot ignore their sin, and you cannot overlook it if you're going to continue to follow Jesus. And so you're placed in a position where you need to make a decision. What are you going to do? For example, what are you going to do if your father takes the Lord's name in vain every time you talk with him? Or what are you going to do if your sister demands that you address her with pronouns that don't match her biology? Or what if your son moves in with his girlfriend? They live together in her apartment. Or what if your mother-in-law shows up drunk at every family gathering? How are you going to respond to your family members in these types of situations? Are you going to try to ignore their sin, overlook it, pretend like it doesn't exist and everything's fine? Or are you going to lovingly confront them by saying something like, Dad, we love being with you and we love talking with you, but it really offends us when you misuse the name of the Lord. Will you please stop talking that way about our Savior? Or, sister, you know I love you. You know that I have always had a close relationship with you and that I hope you know that I'd give you the shirt off of my back, but I will not address you with the pronouns that you're requesting because that would be a lie, and my Christian faith does not allow me to participate in that lie. Son, I know you enjoy spending time with your girlfriend, but cohabitating with her is a sin. The scriptures tell us not to be deceived. Fornicators will not inherit the kingdom of God. As your parent, I'm asking you to repent, move out of your girlfriend's apartment, and let's establish some righteous parameters so that this sin does not continue. Mom, Jill and I noticed that you've been intoxicated at the last few family gatherings. This concerns us for several reasons, the greatest of them being that the Lord defines drunkenness as a sin. In fact, the Bible warns that drunkards will not inherit the kingdom of God. So please, let us assist you with this problem. Dear friends, are you willing to have these types of conversations with your family members? These type of confrontations, loving confrontations. It would be our hope that you would, and that each of these confrontations would be done in love, with respect, giving dignity to the people who deserve dignity, and yet challenging them to be faithful to Jesus Christ, assuming that he is even their profession. But if not, that you would call them to Christ. And it would be our hope that they would respond to these loving confrontations with the appropriate repentance, and that this would strengthen the relationship that we have with our family members. But not all of our family members are walking with the Lord. I think most of us are in that situation. Not all of our family members are walking with the Lord. And some of the ones who say that they are don't show the evidence of that. In fact, they don't respond very well to correction, and we know that. And so there is a risk when we confront our family members concerning their sin. There is a possibility that they'll respond negatively. And Jesus knows that about people. He knows that this is not unique to our generation. This has always been the case. And this is why Jesus said that a man's enemies will be those within his own house. Now, one of the very common reactions professing Christians have in these situations is a fear of losing the relationship that they have with their family members. And so, motivated by this fear, the professing Christian says, if I challenge him in that way, I will lose him. If I confront her with the scriptures, she'll get angry and she'll stop talking to me. If I share my concerns with them, they'll run away and cut off all ties with me. Now, understand the true nature of this response, this reaction. The people who would say one of these or similar statements, if I challenge them, it'll destroy our relationship. They're basically saying, if I have to choose between following Jesus and maintaining my relationship with my family member, I'm going to choose my family member. I'm going to choose my family member. And Jesus knows that we have this fear-based tendency. So he graciously warns us about how wrong that decision to choose your family member over him is. He tells us the way it really is, the way we really need to be viewing these situations. He says, he who loves father or mother more than me is not worthy of me. And he who loves son and daughter more than me is not worthy of me. As much as we love our sons and daughters, our mothers and fathers and our siblings, we must not choose our loyalty to them place our love to them above our love for Jesus Christ. When the situation demands it, when following Christ demands it, we must choose Christ over even our closest family members. That's what Jesus is defining as the cost of discipleship. And so, brothers and sisters, if the Holy Spirit has borne witness to you of your own sin in this matter, or of any other matter for that case, where the Holy Spirit has burdened you with the guilt of sin, with a conviction of having transgressed the law of God, remember that God is merciful and gracious, and that he forgives and pardons all who come to him in the name of Jesus Christ. And one of the first acts of coming to him in repentance is to confess our sins. And so we make a practice of confessing our sins to the Lord. We try to confess them quickly and regularly. And so let's spend some time with confession right now.